Let me ask a question here today. So what are you hoping for? To find under the Christmas tree, I mean. What are you hoping to find? As a child, we hoped for a whole lot of things, and the list we gave Santa was long, remember? I have two favorite Christmases, two favorite ones. The first one was when I hoped and I wished and I prayed for Major Matt Mason. Now, do any of you remember Major Matt Mason? Anybody? There'd be a couple of us. He was an astronaut kind of guy, and I got all the accessories on that Christmas, and I still remember that one as a kid. Now, my second favorite Christmas, I've talked about this in a good amount before. My second favorite Christmas was I had been praying and hoping and wishing for a bicycle, and I remember getting up that Christmas morning and coming down the stairs and sliding around the corner in my footy pajamas, you know, and there it was, a beautiful Schwinn, root beer colored Schwinn with a banana seat on it. Some of you will remember that bike from the late 60s, and it was my baby. I'll tell you, it was a great gift to get. I remember those Christmases, and that one was 48 years ago, and I still remember it. Well, as we get older, our Christmases, the lists that we make, they become shorter, and the gifts we want become much more significant, okay? So I want you to track with that idea that when we were a child, we had long lists, and everything was about getting what we wanted and the fun that we would have. And as we get older, though, our list gets shorter, and the gifts that we hope for are much more significant. A verse of scripture that sets the foundation for our sermon today is Matthew 1:23, one that many of us are familiar with. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And here's the key today. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And because God is with us in the person of Jesus, we have a much more significant gift to find this Christmas season. Well, before we get to that gift, though, I want to let you know, as you've already heard on the video here this morning, I want you to know what we're hoping is going to go on over these next few Sundays leading up to Christmas. Now, you already heard about our new sermon series starting next Sunday called Who Needs Christmas? And the message, those messages in this series are going to be an encouragement to us, but they'll also be very fitting for your non-church friends and family, okay? This really will be a great time to invite them to come and see, to just come and see. And since Christmas is one of those times in the year when unbelievers are curious about coming to church, let's invite them to see what God's up to. Right? Let's invite them to come and we'll see what God's up to. And see the reality is they may need Christmas. And it would be a great deal if we could share that gift with them this season. But today, let's find out about this significant gift that we're going to find. Back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we find a guy there by the name of Jacob. And one night as Jacob is asleep, he has a dream. And the dream was actually from God. And God told Jacob his plans for his people. So God lets Jacob in on his plans, and oh my goodness, it's so huge, it's so big. Jacob has no clue how this is really going to happen. And then God promised Jacob that he would be with him all along the way. And then in Genesis 28:16, we read this. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Surely the Lord was in this place, and I was not aware of it." Jacob was not for even one moment outside of God's presence, but he was not aware of it. As we consider what we're going to find this Christmas, let's be aware of it. Let's be aware that God is with us. He is Emmanuel. God is with us, Emmanuel. And that brings to us a precious gift, a very significant gift. The weather forecast. We love to listen to or read the weather forecast, don't we? So let me give you the weather forecast for your life. And this one is 100% accurate, okay? The extended forecast for your life is showing partly sunny with a great possibility of storms. Partly sunny with a great possibility of storms. And Jesus, he's the one who told us that in this life we would face storms and hardships. And you can count on it. You can count on the fact that storms are going to come. They're going to blow against your life. The winds are going to blow against your life. They're going to freeze you in your tracks. Life is stressful at times. And I'm not simply referring to the Christmas rush. I'm talking about a Christmas crush. When life comes and pounds on us, and it's very difficult to walk, and very difficult to even get up out of bed, and very difficult to even come into a worship service and concentrate much, because so much is burdening us and so much is getting us down. When everything's crushing down on us and we just can't keep going. One of the best-selling books over the past couple of decades was written to our stressed out culture, okay? It's Richard Carlson's book entitled, "Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, It's All Small Stuff." Don't sweat the small stuff, it's all small stuff. And it's a good little book. And there are some good principles in it. But you know what? Richard Carlson was wrong. See, it's not all small stuff. You tell the person who's been diagnosed with cancer that it's small stuff. You tell the person who has a spouse with Alzheimer's that it's small stuff. You tell the person who just lost a loved one, it's small stuff. You tell the person who's recovering from surgery that it's small stuff. You tell the family that's sitting next to you who's falling apart right now that it's small stuff. You tell the person who lost their job that it's small stuff. You tell the person who's going through a divorce that it's small stuff. You tell the mom and dad who just lost a baby that it's small stuff. You tell the parents who pray daily for their prodigal child that it's small stuff. You tell the person who's struggling for the third day in a row to stay sober that it's small stuff. You tell the parents of a child born with a birth defect, as some call it, that it's small stuff. You tell the parents of the kids who deal with the new fear of the possibility of an active shooter that it's small stuff. You tell the parents whose child is losing the battle with an addiction that it's small stuff. And I probably didn't even bring up your story. And I'll never tell you that it's small stuff. You and I know that we face some big stuff. And what many of us are hoping to find this season is refuge. One thing we'll find: refuge. Refuge from all this stuff. A refuge to find some peace in the midst of the storms and the pain. Somebody's arms that we can rest in. God with us. They will call him Emmanuel, God with us. I want to invite you to open your scriptures with me to Mark chapter number 4. Would you please hear today? Wherever you find your scriptures, Mark chapter 4. We're going to start with verse number 35, and we're going to read about 6 verses in this passage. You know this story. We're not going to chew on it, the story itself, that much here today. But we want to set the picture here. We know there's a great gift. It's called refuge. And here is a story that helps us catch. Man, if God can do this, if Jesus can do this, then he can calm my storm. That evening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the east side." So they left the crowd, and his disciples started across the lake with him in the boat. Some other boats followed along. Suddenly, a windstorm struck the lake. Waves started splashing into the boat, and it was about to sink. And Jesus was in the back of the boat with his head on a pillow, and he was asleep. His disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown?" And Jesus got up and ordered the wind and the waves to be quiet. The wind stopped and everything was calm. And Jesus asked his disciples, "Why were you afraid? Don't you have any faith?" Now, my friends, I've got to tell you that when storms blow into our lives, that's who we have on our side. Okay? The one who can command the winds to stop and the waves to stop, he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is here. And I think there are some times when he asks me, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" But all the time, he has a clear understanding of the real storms that we are facing, and he sympathizes with us. The Bible promises us that he sympathizes with us. So when he asks us those questions you see on the screen, when he asks us those questions, it's actually an encouragement to us. Jesus wasn't scolding them. He knew their fear. He knows the storms. He knows the hassle. He's not scolding them, folks. He's actually, "Why are you getting so worked up? Come on, guys. You're seasoned fishermen," and the seasoned fishermen, they're afraid because this storm is formidable in their lives. "But why are you getting so worked up, so stressed out? Don't you remember, Mark, that I flung the stars into the universe, that I put the sun in the sky, that I put the moon in its orbit? Don't you think I can handle the wind and the waves that are crashing into your life right now?" He says, "I am the God of the small stuff and the big stuff." All that big stuff that I mentioned a moment ago, Those are storms that people in our church have gone through this year or are going through right now. They're tired, weary, and can't keep going on. They may be you. Whatever it might be you're carrying. Those people, they're trusting him. They're trusting him, and he's carrying them through. A Christian song from the recent past said something quite profound. The words were, sometimes he calms the storm, at other times he calms the child. Sometimes he calms the storm, at other times he calms the child. And those folks who are going through these storms, you are discovering that God has shown up. And they really know that now. And that is precisely what I'm trying to communicate to you here this morning. That is exactly how God feels about you when you are hurting, if you are hurting, since you are hurting. His eyes at this very moment are roaming this auditorium looking for those of you who have a lump in your throat, looking for those of you who have a deep wound in your heart. He sees the tears streaming down your face, and he sees the ones you can't seem to get out. For many of us, he's already found us in pain, and he already has his arms around us. He says to you and me, I am able. Even the winds and waves obey me. I want to be your refuge. I want to shelter you. Come to me and pour out your heart. Friends, please, if you want to find refuge, pour out your heart to God. Ask him to calm the storm, because he can. Sometimes with the wave of his hand, he calms the storm, and other times with the touch of his hand, he calms his child. You know, there are so many profound images in God's word that make it clear how he feels about those who are beaten up and brokenhearted and weary. He wants to make it abundantly clear how much he longs to be your refuge. Your refuge in those times. The word refuge, it refers to sanctuary. Remember, we used to call the room where we came together, some of us still do. We still call it the sanctuary. And the sanctuary is that place where you can come and get some rest. The sanctuary is a place where you can come and receive some healing. The sanctuary is a place you can come and escape the difficulties of what you're dealing with. The sanctuary is that place. The sanctuary is a place of safe retreat. It's a hiding place. And he's calling out to us and saying, I'm here for you to be your refuge. To be your refuge, to be your sanctuary, to be your hiding place. Wherever you are. That's why the church doesn't call this the sanctuary anymore. Because that is a term that came out of if you came to the temple, if you came to church, God would be there to meet you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. There is no qualifier to that. He is with you, not only here, but every moment. Jacob just wasn't aware of it. If we can become aware of it, we can find our refuge, because that's how much he loves and cares about us. This idea of God being a refuge, it has been tremendously important in my life. But some of you who live on the logical proof side of life, if you press me right now and say, okay, Pastor, show me how this thing works. Show me how when God shows up, the troubled can find refuge. Give me 5 steps. Come on, Mark. Come on, show me. And I'll have to tell you, I can't. I can't give you the 5 steps. I can't tell you exactly how this works. There's a supernatural side of this thing that I will never understand. But I know Psalm 62:8, and it reads this way, trust God, my friends, and pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. I know that when I've done that, he's been that. I can only give testimony. That's all I can do. Can't give you the recipe. Can't give you the plan, but I can give you the promise. Okay, I can't give you the plan, but I can give you the promise. When I've been that, he's been that. And I hope you are that, so he can be who he always is. You know, there are a couple of other psalms that I want you to see here this morning. And this is the truth here. These are psalms. You go to the book of Psalm and scatter that. Oh, there are more of them that talk about the refuge. There are more of them that talk about the refuge. But here are just 3 that I wanted to pull out. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. But I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. I can't give you step 1 and 2. Okay, I said that. I can't give you a specific plan, but I can give you this promise. His promise. God is our refuge. Venture. This writer of the Psalms, okay, this songwriter, he was a songwriter. He learned what many of us are learning, and what I pray you will learn here this morning if you haven't learned it yet. If you will pour yourself out to the God of this universe, he will be your refuge. He will be your hiding place. He will be your peace. He will be your protector. And that's the truth. Now I know what some of you men are doing right now. Okay? I don't know if this is with the ladies too, but I know what you men are doing right now. Some of you are doing. Because I've done this myself, okay? Just some of you maybe, okay? You're thinking, well, the guy who wrote those songs, those psalms, he's a songwriter, okay? He writes poetry. He's sentimental. This refuge stuff is for the weak. I'm strong, and I can handle this stuff by myself. Well, the guy who wrote all of that God is my refuge stuff was a guy by the name of David, and a sissy, a weakling, a softy, he was not. He slayed a lion, a bear, and a giant dude. He was a marksman. He was a warrior, the commander-in-chief of a huge army. He was the king of Israel. He was a ladies' man. And his body was chiseled. You've seen all the statues, right?
Okay.
This tough, self-confident, self-reliant, fully capable guy realized his need for a refuge. And he found that God was his refuge and strength. And for all of those who are here today who want to tackle this and do this all on their own and have tried long enough and believe I can get through this myself and I can handle this all myself, I hope that we will all find what David found and believe that, that God is our refuge. So, how do you personally handle the burdens in your life these days? Okay, so think about this one. At the age we are today, how do we personally handle the burdens in our lives? Us, ourselves, personally. How do you do it? Okay, some people try to escape. They run to all kinds of stuff, overeating, overdrinking, overspending, overworking, self-medicating, okay? Some people handle their weariness and their burdens with the deer in the headlights kind of reaction. Some of you may have already experienced that because the deer hunting season's on and they're in rut and the deers are running. And at nighttime, you've probably experienced that deer in the middle of the road just standing there staring at you, not doing a thing, doesn't have a clue, freezes up. And some of us handle our burdens and weariness with the deer in the headlights kind of reaction. We just kind of freeze and stare at all the problems that we've got coming to us, and we fixate on them until we finally get run over and we physically get sick. Some people run. They just change the circumstances they're in. They change jobs. They change spouses. Some people just gut it out. That's what most of us probably do. I don't need any help. I'm just gonna have to get through this. And they just trudge it out. And the painful journey never ends. Well, folks, none of those are good solutions. Let's turn to God, the one who showed up on that first Christmas morning. Let's turn to him, Emmanuel, God with us. When we turn to him, we find refuge.